I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Just a ton of questions, and we'll try to make our way through this in the final half hour of the show. Ton, our next listener is in Orem, and they are being tormented by orchard grass in their flower beds. They say for 11 years now, they've pulled it, sprayed it, tilled it, and they've just given up at some point in the summer. What else can they do?
Well, orchard grass is one of those things that we don't know what kind of grass, and so we either call it orchard grass or crabgrass. And I wonder if they have actually a very invasive species called quackgrass that spreads by underground runners. And you can spray it out, you can dig it, but it's monthly that you have to do it. So, unfortunately, we'd want to confirm that it is quackgrass, but the only way that you're going to get those really invasive grasses out is with repeated sprays from something like Roundup. And you would do that for an entire season, or solarizing, taking everything out of the bed and solarizing it for an entire season.
They would also like some recommendations on what they can plant on the west side of their backyard. They say it's a steep hillside with sandy soil and just bakes everything to death. Any advice for them?
Well, they're going to need sufficient irrigation to get plants established. And I wish we had more details on whether they want a perennials, trees, shrubs. So
It sounds like they're desperate to find something to plant that's just not going to die.
Well, and I think that I grew up with sandy soil, and now I didn't have a slope, but I grew up in sandy soil. And the trick is to water more often, but with less water, because that water goes fairly deep quickly because of the really sharp drainage. And so if they were going to put things in there, what they would need to do is make sure and water things probably three times a week at least until they're established. And then after a few years, they could back that off. But because that soil has so little water holding capacity, they are going to need to water a little more often. And because the water goes more in a downward direction more quickly instead of spreading out, they may need to install, if they're using drip, more drip points to make sure to get sufficient irrigation to the plants.
Yeah, and on that west side, you know, it's going to be, what are some of the things that commonly do well in a lot of sun?
Well, if they're looking for ground covers, the sedums would thrive in that situation because they will survive on being irrigated as little as every 3 to 4 weeks. There are things like gallardias, or what we call blanket flower, that would thrive. Pentstemons would do really well. The anise hyssops, the agastaches that bloom from July to frost, rose of Sharon shrubs, you know, trees would do fine. They would just need to be established. But if there's a water problem, I would veer toward junipers because those are inherently drought hardy and would require less irrigation.
All right. Our next listener says they have a pretty little weed in their garden. I know it's not that pretty. Small green to purple leaves, gets a little white flower on it. It has a very thin stem. And they've been told to use a pre-emergent. What kind and when? I mean, what would they use and when would they put it on?
Well, I suspect that it is probably a speedwell. Those will bloom in early spring with either white or blue flowers, depending on the particular species. And the pre-emergent products, the poor speed dwells, would have to go down very early spring as soon as snow melts off, or there are many of them that they could apply in the fall that would have some longevity and last until spring.
Sounds like they could do that now, though, right?
If they're up and going, no.
Mm, okay.
Because pre-emergents only control flowers, and well, they only control plants that have not germinated yet, and they're controlled as they germinate.
Right. So it's not going to help those that are already up.
So in this situation, they could hand pull. They could get a weed torch if it was appropriate to burn them down. If it's above 50 or 55 degrees for a series of days, they could try something like glyphosate.
Okay. And what about if it's in the lawn? They say their neighbors got it in their lawn.
Then there are some products out there. A lawn weed killer, again, the temperatures above 55 are critical for when you're doing that, but they could try a good lawn weed killer out there. You know, Ortho's Weed Be Gone, Trimec. There's many of them out there.
So this is a really strange one for me. I've never heard of somebody doing this. This person says they recently spread 40,000 red worms or 40 pounds over the top of their dying lawn and immediately tilled them under using a rototiller. They say their landscaper recommended to put in an inch of soil on top of the worms, but they haven't done that. They just tilled them, and the lawn was still frozen, so it was really hard. And they were just wondering, first of all, they say it really smells. Is there something they should do? Should they spread a big yellow bag on top of it, or what would fix this problem that they've created?
They shouldn't be tilling if the ground's frozen or really wet. And the intention of putting the worms down is to help aerate the soil naturally. So I can see the logic, but if the soil were healthy enough for worms, they would be there. So it's kind of this circle. And so something like, you know, if they're trying to improve the soil, a combination of aeration with a finely ground mulch or a finely ground compost product, so that they would put it down about a quarter of an inch at a time about once a month. And with aerating in the spring and fall and that compost going on spring and fall, and I think there's several products from Biograss that would be absolutely fine for this, but the implementation of it was a little bit off.
I believe Hayden is still with us. Hayden, what would you suggest? Which of your products would you suggest?
Sorry, what was the question again, Maria?
So this person is trying to fix their soil. Ton, maybe you can better phrase the question.
So they're trying to fix poor soil underneath turf, and their landscaper recommending putting red worms all over the place and then putting an inch of topsoil down, but there's a lot of problems with that. They'd smother their turf out. And if the soil was healthy enough for worms, we would already have them there.
Right.
And so to improve after the fact, I was recommending the aeration in the spring and fall, and then once a month spreading a quarter of an inch of compost, finely ground compost, over the top of the lawn. And we were just curious if you had any other suggestions.
Yeah. And to add to the aeration, I think it does such a great job to, again, I think I said it before, removing sweeping away those plugs if you can, and actually disposing them in a different area and reincorporating some organic matter or topsoil back into those plugs or into those aerated holes. So instead of, you know, just top dressing your soil and, you know, potentially creating a layer, you can actually infiltrate below those, right next to where those roots are, and have that new soil right in contact with the roots. So you could do a deep core aeration, which would be even better. But anything that you're going to do to, you know.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Incorporate some soil into the ground as deep as possible is going to be really good for your sod.
All right. We want to make sure that our listeners don't miss out on your discount today that is special for them. So tell us about your offer on the big yellow bag.
Yeah. So we, the bags, it's a cubic yard of soil. They're usually $149 delivered. If you're ordering them today for the greenhouse show, we're doing $30 off that deal. So you can get a cubic yard of soil in the big yellow bag delivered to your house for $119. You can get that by ordering at bigyellowbag.com and using code KSL2021 or giving us a call at 801-562-9090 to place an order.
Okay, and then tell us what they have to choose from.
So we have four products. Our black garden soil is our most popular. It's a mixture of basically slowly composted steer manure, a little bit of wood fines, and some sandy loam soil. And then we have a premium topsoil, which is some screened topsoil, a little bit of sand, and some organic matter. And then we have two different wood chips. We have a light one, a naturally colored wood chip, and a dark chocolate wood chip.
I know you've been giving away a big yellow bag every hour. You mentioned the first hour. Do you have the winner's name from the second hour?
For the second hour, what was the gal's name? I don't have it right in front
of me. Sorry, I put you on the spot.
That's okay. I'll give it to you for the next one. But I can talk about the next one that we're going to be doing.
Go for it.
All right. So for this one, you're actually going to have to go to the Biograss Instagram page, and it's already been posted. So hop on there. And we have five varieties of seed that are in a photo. And what you have to do is you have to guess which one of those varieties is the most drought tolerant.
Oh, wow. So, having some fun.
Yeah. So comment on that page, and the first person to guess which of these seed varieties is the most drought tolerant will win a free bag. And be careful, there's some tricky stuff on there, so we don't want to trip you up.
Okay, and get your discount today on the big yellow bag at bigyellowbag.com and put in the code KSL2021. Thank you for joining us for the final segment of the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, trying to get to as many of your calls and questions as we can. Let's go back to our phone lines, and Joe is in Layton. Good morning, Joe. What is your question this morning?
Well, last year we had what I believe was powdery mildew on our black currant bushes, and it pretty well trashed the crop. And so we're wondering what we need to do to prevent that from happening.
Well, as long as it was powdery mildew, what you're going to need to do is, one, make sure that you only irrigate those plants from the base. So with drip hose or, you know, something along those lines so that you can keep the sprinklers from spreading the powdery mildew throughout the plants. Some other things you can look at is using a practice called renewal pruning, to where you're taking 25% of the branches out or 20% of the branches out every year. That will help increase some air circulation, at least through the first part of the summer. So, but the main thing that you're going to probably need to do is those plants are starting to leaf out, spray a fungicide on them, something like Liquid F-Stop or another registered one that will keep that powdery mildew at bay until we get warm. And so as we warm up, it's going to be harder for that powdery mildew to spread. But even then, you know, or another option would be if you're trying to keep things more organic, there are several horticultural oil sprays that will help prevent powdery mildew also. Neem oil isn't organic, but it is very low risk. And there's others out there that you could spray weekly with something like neem oil to see if that would help if you don't want to avoid using a fungicide.
Okay, yeah, I'm not too worried about staying organic. I don't mind using some chemicals. Neem oil is one you'd recommend then, huh?
Yeah, so there's others out there that will help prevent, you know, there's several of them, but either a fungicide that's preventative, registered for fruit crops, or something like neem oil.
Okay, I will check into those and see what I could do. Now, you talked previously about pre-emergence in a vegetable garden. But you said glyphosate, I think.
Glyphosate is Roundup.
Roundup. So that just, that's not a pre-emergent.
Spray. So a pre-emergent would be something along the lines of Treflan. And there's several name brands with Treflan in them that are registered for general garden use, but you need to look at those labels carefully because you need to have your crops up and going or already planted. And there's things like corn that are not on label for Treflan, so you have to go over that label. But Treflan is the common one out there.
I think that's what we used last year, and I had the feeling that it was kind of rough on the corn. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Joe, thanks for your call. I'm going to try and squeeze another caller in here. Richard's in Bountiful. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. I heard you talking a few weeks ago about spraying a pre-emergent. My spurge comes back with a vengeance about the 1st of July, and I heard you mention to spray instead of putting granular down.
Yeah, I think that you might have better results. They're BioAdvanced, which used to be Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, makes a product called Season Long Broadleafed Weed Control.
Okay.
That's when you use. Go ahead. It's a dandelion killer plus a pre-emergent.
And do you spray that right now or when?
You could, or you could. I would actually wait a couple of weeks to spray it. But yeah, you could get it down now if you needed to. Now, the other question, I know we're short on time, is why is the spurge spreading like that? And so you're going to want to look at some lawn management fact sheets to make sure you're following the recommendations, because a nice thick lawn also does a great job against spurge.
Okay. What was that again? What was that last one?
Oh, just if you Google USU and lawn care, it'll bring up several fact sheets that you can look at.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call. Thanks for listening this morning. I want to bring Hayden back on the line from Biograss. And Hayden, thank you so much for sponsoring the program today and offering this wonderful discount for our KSL listeners.
Yes. Thank you for having me on. We're excited.
And do we have another winner?
We sure do. We have a gentleman going by the Instagram handle of sconnell502. He guessed the native blend, which is our most drought tolerant variety of seed. We use it sometimes for commercial projects for retention ponds or on steep hillsides that aren't irrigated. These grasses are really great if you're looking to have them placed in somewhere where you're not going to be necessarily playing. But, they once established, they can survive on annual rainfall. So they're really great for areas like that for erosion control and other applications.
Right. We want to make sure people know they can call you for all of their grass needs at 801-562-9090. I need to ask, though, you've been offering this KSL listener discount of $30 on the big yellow bags. How long does that last?
That will go through the month of March. For the $30 off. Yes, you can order anytime from now until then to get the $30 off.
And you have a new fleet of trucks, so you can get this out to people more quickly this year.
Yes, we have lots of new customers, and we're very excited for all of them. So we have to make some upgrades just so we can get the product out to you guys faster.
All right. Hayden, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Let me remind our listeners, the website to get your discount on the Big Yellow Bag is bigyellowbag.com, and just put in the code KSL2021. As always, Tom, this program goes by so quickly, and I feel unsatisfied today because there are so many people excited about planting and having so many gardening questions, and I feel like I just got to a fraction of their questions. So I want to thank our listeners for all of their patience.
Yeah, and important to call in early so you can get everything answered. So we appreciate everyone.
Right. And Caitlin and I have been working on a fun video. I just have a second to tell you that we'll have a new succulent video out this week. And this one's fun because it uses kind of spring baskets and succulents. So you want to check that out later in the week. Have a great weekend.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.